the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Jesus was eating supper with his disciples. He was trying to explain to them that he was going away, and they could not go with him. They didn't know he was talking about his death on the cross. He told them not to be sad and promised to come back for them someday. He was going to heaven to prepare a place in his Father's house that would be big enough for all God's children.
From John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions in my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions in my Father's house.
I go
to prepare a place for you.
For you.
For
to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
We are seven sons of the chief priest of the Israelite community here in Ephesus, correct? Well, we are going to become famous. These seven sons of Sceva of Ephesus. How do you like that?
Well, what are we going to do? Sprout wings and fly to the moon?
I'm serious, really serious. Now, this book in my hand, I read every word in it, and it gave me an idea how to make a fortune and become famous. Any of you object to that? Well, the people of Ephesus worship the goddess Diana, right?
Well, don't talk so much. Just tell us what this project is.
Look, this goddess is supposed to have fallen from the sky. And from the looks of her, she must have come from somewhere besides Earth. On the goddess are some inscriptions. Now, this book is supposed to tell what those inscriptions are and interpret them. We're Israelites, and we know that there is a devil. A real living devil, who once was the prime minister in heaven. So he's very smart and wise. Wiser than all humans put together, and then some. Well, this book must have been written by him.
You mean the devil?
Must be a terrible book.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. We have the scriptures, which tell about God and how to worship him. This book, in reality, tells about the devil and, well, how to worship him.
How did you happen to get that book? I thought all those books were burned when Paul converted all those people to Christianity.
Well, many books were burned, but there were plenty of magicians who didn't accept Christianity, and they didn't burn their books.
You say that book comes right out and tells you how to worship the devil?
Well, not in so many words, but... Look, we're Israelites. We know about God and Satan, so I can read between the lines. Now, most people who read this book probably think it merely explains how to do magic, be a sorcerer, and tell fortunes and things like that. But I know better. If one were to follow the instructions in this book, he'd be a disciple of the devil. Going a little further, he would be an accomplice of Satan and could do anything Satan can do, which is just about anything. Now that, my dear brothers, is how we're going to become famous and rich.
By worshiping the devil?
No, well... Well, not exactly. By his help, though, we're going to be the best fortune tellers, soothsayers, magicians, and enchanters, and sorcerers, or anything we want to be. We will charge accordingly.
No, I don't think Father will let us do it.
Why not? In fact, he might as well join us, because he doesn't worship God. Well, not really. Not in the way the scriptures say to worship him. Also, the rulers and priests of Israel are serving Satan. They crucified the Son of God.
Oh, you shouldn't talk like that. It's blasphemy.
Oh, so was crucifying the Son of God.
Well, how do you know so much anyway?
I read and watch and listen. Well, do we do it or don't we?
You're the old man of us seven sons.
I'm the patriarch.
Oh.
All right, we're going to do it. I'll be the leader. I'll go through the rigmarole of swearing allegiance to Satan and all that sort of thing. Oh, it'll take time. We'll have to practice and practice and practice to make it look mysterious.
Have you been able to make a table float yet?
Of course, stupid. That's one of the first tricks I learned.
Yeah, me too. I can make a coin disappear.
Oh, that's simple. Now you don't need magic for that.
How about the ring trick? Can everybody do that?
Of course.
Well, it seems like we all have the rudiments down pretty well. Now we'll have to go under the real meat.
You mean like healing someone?
Well, partly.
What do you mean partly? If you heal someone, it should be completely, not partly.
Save the sarcasm. I saw Paul cast out an evil spirit yesterday.
Well, how did he do that?
Do you know who Jesus of Nazareth was?
Well, of course. He was the one the leaders and priests crucified, the Messiah.
Oh. Well, Paul just said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command you to come out of him." And the evil spirit left the man.
Well, if Paul can do it, we can do it too.
Right. Now, get the fellows. I know where a man lives who's possessed with an evil spirit.
Hey,
command you, evil spirit, leave this man nevermore to enter him again. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we adjure you.
Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you?
Why trouble you me? I'll rip you to pieces.
When the people who lived in Ephesus heard about this, they were all filled with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was given greater honor. Many of the believers came and publicly admitted what they had done. And many of those who had practiced magic brought their books and burned them. In this way, the word of the Lord continued to spread and grow stronger.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Here we are at the start of another Kids Bible Club meeting, and I'm excited. You guys are doing such a great job of finding wonderful Bible texts to share. Tonight it's Lily's turn, right, Lily?
Whatever you say, Pastor Perez, I have my text ready.
Good. Let's hear it.
Okay, my favorite text is found in the book of Job, chapter 5, verse 19. Here's what it says. From 6 calamities, he will rescue you. In 7, no harm will befall you.
Interesting. If I remember my Bible correctly, those words were spoken to Job by his friend Eliphaz. Eliphaz was attempting to encourage Job, right?
I guess so. I just like them.
Lily, are you having some calamities in your life?
Henry's my brother. What do you think?
Hey, I'm a good brother.
Oh, I see. You need to know that no matter what Henry does, God will rescue you?
Something like that.
I'll have you know that I'm a lot better than I used to be.
Really? How?
Well, I make fun of you a lot less, I tease you a lot less, and when was the last time I put something gooey in your coat pocket?
Tuesday.
See? I'm cutting back.
You know, Henry, you might want to take it easy on Lily. After all, you are her big brother. She needs you to protect her, not bug her all the time.
Okay. No more gooey stuff, but beyond that, no promises.
Don't worry, Pastor Perez. I'm sure that whatever Henry does to me, there's a Bible text for it. I'll just keep looking.
Good attitude, Lily.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
What is God like? Some people think that God is unfair. Others believe He's mean or stingy, or that He doesn't really care about them. Lots of kids even grow up thinking that God is mad at them. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says God is good. That's right. And because he's good, we know he's kind, patient, forgiving, loving, and much more. I'm so thankful to know what God is like. Aren't you?
Psalm 107:1-8. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds.
He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good.
He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks, for he is good.
For his unfailing love and his wonderful
boys and girls, This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 8, The Mysterious Stranger. Chris doesn't look very guilty, Maria thought, as she and Jenny entered the sanctuary where some more people were getting ready for the wedding. Chris was standing beside Sammy as they watched Sammy's Uncle Locke set up his camera equipment. Elder Jansen and his wife were making sure all the candles and flowers were in the right position up front. When Mrs. Jansen saw Maria, she waved and came down the aisle. "Hi, Maria. I'm glad you stopped in before the wedding. We had to change where you will be standing during the ceremony, so let me show you the piece of tape that you need to stand on." Maria followed as Mrs. Jansen talked. "Now, when you walk up, you will want to make a sharper turn when you pass the first pew, right about here. We had to move everyone back about 10 inches. Maria studied her position. She stepped on the tape and made sure she knew exactly which way to stand. "Is this right?" Mrs. Jansen nodded and smiled. "Yes, you shouldn't have any problem." "I will if I can't find my dress," Maria thought. "Is that all?" she asked, looking up. She suddenly caught her breath and pointed. "Who's that?" she almost shouted. Mrs. Jansen looked toward the doors. "Who is who?" she asked Maria. "I don't see anyone." "Didn't you see him, Jenny?" Jenny looked toward the doors, too. "I wasn't looking, Maria." "It was the same guy I told you about earlier, the guy with the baby in the diaper bag. Can I go now, Mrs. Jansen?" Maria asked. "Are you sure you'll remember what you are supposed to do?" Maria nodded and quickly walked over to Chris and Sammy. Jenny was right behind her. "I have to get dressed right away for the wedding, Chris, so I need to get my dress back." Chris got a puzzled look on his face. "So? I don't know where your dress is." "You took it to play a trick on me," Maria insisted, "but it's not funny." Chris shrugged. "But I've been with Sammy since I got here. You can even ask Sammy." "Chris has been with me, all right," Sammy said, "and I've been with my uncle." Maria crossed her arms and made an oomph sound. "How come I don't believe you, Chris?" She thought back to the trick with the car door last night and all the other things he did to tease her. "You're always doing something to try and be funny." Chris shrugged again. "But I didn't take your dress. I haven't even seen it since you brought it in from the car. Are you sure it's missing?" "We've looked everywhere," Jenny said. "No one in the multipurpose room remembers seeing it." Chris narrowed his eyes as if he were thinking hard. "It sounds like a mystery to me." Maria threw up her hands. "It is a mystery. Unfortunately, I don't have all day to solve it." Whipping around, she started to walk out. "Now what will I do?" she wondered. But just as quickly as she thought it, she seemed to have an answer. "I know. I'll pray." She stopped just before leaving the sanctuary and bowed her head. "Dear Jesus, I know I was selfish, and I didn't want to wear the dress in the first place, but I know that I should also do what I promised. Please help me find the dress soon enough that I can be in the wedding. Amen." Maria didn't realize she was being followed until she stopped in the lobby. "What are you guys doing?" she asked Chris and Sammy. "We thought we would help you find your dress," Chris said. "It made me feel bad when you didn't believe me. I really am sorry for playing that trick on you last night with the car door, too." Maria took a deep breath. "Thanks. We have a better chance of finding it now that there are four of us searching. Come on, let's go." "There you are, Maria," a woman's voice said. Maria's heart sank. She looked at the long, beautiful pink dress. Then she looked at the person wearing it. Molly was one of the bridesmaids. "Hi, Molly. It's not time to start yet, is it?" "Pretty soon. Angie wanted to see you before the wedding started." Maria was getting really worried. She didn't know where the dress was, and now Angie wanted to see her. "What if Angie asks if I'm ready?" Maria thought. "I can't tell her the dress is lost." Maria couldn't believe how beautiful her aunt looked when she went into the room where Angie was getting ready for the wedding. There seemed to be so much happiness in the room. She quietly stood out of the way until Angie saw her. "Oh, Maria, I'm glad I got to see you before the ceremony started," Angie said when she saw her. "You look beautiful, Angie," Maria said as she admired Angie's white gown. "Thank you, Maria. I hoped I would get to see you in your dress, too." Maria cleared her throat. How could she tell Angie that she didn't know where her dress was? But Angie began talking again. I'm sorry your dress is short and not long like it was supposed to be. I must have placed the order wrong. I know how much you were looking forward to wearing a long dress. Maria smiled. My dress is beautiful, too. Angie glanced at her watch. The wedding will be starting pretty soon. Did you see many people out there, Maria? Did you see Ben? Does he look handsome? I've got to tell Angie I can't find my dress. Maria suddenly realized she was tapping her foot like she always did when she got nervous. Lots of people are coming, she answered. I saw Ben once. He looked nervous. He's handsome. I don't know where my dress is. Maria blurted it all out so fast she wasn't exactly sure what she said. You don't know where your dress is? Angie asked. I'm sorry. Somebody must have taken it. I set it down on a table in the multipurpose room, and then it just disappeared. Angie didn't get mad or upset or anything. She simply knelt down in front of Maria and asked if she had a plan. Well, Maria started, Chris and his friend Sammy and my friend Jenny are trying to find it right now, but it's almost too late. I think I can hold up the wedding a little while if it is necessary, Angie suggested with a grin. After all, I'm the bride. It's my wedding. But won't everyone get upset? Maria asked. Angie looked straight into Maria's eyes. I don't think anyone will be as upset as I would be if you weren't able to take part in my wedding. The first time I saw you, when you were just a baby, I wanted you to have a part in my wedding. I don't think a few more minutes will make much difference. Thank you, Angie. Maria gave her a huge hug. I love you. Maria hurried out and found Chris and Sammy and Jenny. Angie said she'll wait until we find my dress, but we have to hurry. Sammy cleared his throat. Was the man with the baby wearing a gray suit? Yeah, I think so, Maria said. Why? Do you know where he is? Is that him?
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.